From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all his fullness.
We're delighted that you've joined us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the recorded messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns brings the final portion of a message entitled Reclaiming the Church by a Return to Christ, part of a series of studies explaining the basic teachings of the book of 1 Corinthians. In this book, perhaps more than any other New Testament book, we see remarkable parallels to what is happening in many churches in the 21st century. The church at Corinth was rife with sin and problems, sins ranging from divisiveness to unspeakable immorality, and problems that included everything from abuse of spiritual gifts to disorders at the Lord's table. Paul's answer was the preaching of the gospel to return the church to focus on Christ. He emphasized that the satisfaction of Christ gives the church the principles to deal with every problem. In addition, the Spirit of Christ gives the church the power to overcome every problem of faith and practice. It is as believers remember their oneness in Christ that they are enabled to love one another and thus maintain what Paul calls in Ephesians the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Dr. Cairns will conclude this message in just a few minutes. First, we invite you to enjoy this brief devotional thought found in C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is entitled, My Choice is His Choice. The text, Psalm 47 and verse 4, He shall choose our inheritance for us. Our enemies would allot us a very dreary portion, but we are not left in their hands. The Lord will cause us to stand in our lot, and our place is appointed by His infinite wisdom. A wiser mind than our own arranges our destiny. The ordaining of all things is with God, and we are glad to have it so. We choose that God should choose for us. If we might have our own way, we would wish to let all things go in God's way. Being conscious of our own folly, we would not desire to rule our own destinies. We feel safer and more at ease when the Lord steers our vessel than we could possibly be if we could direct it according to our own judgment. Joyfully we leave the painful present and the unknown future with our Father, our Savior, our Comforter. O my soul, this day lay down thy wishes at Jesus' feet. If thou hast of late been somewhat wayward and willful, eager to be and to do after thine own mind, now dismiss thy foolish self, and place the reins in the Lord's hands. Say, He shall choose. If others dispute the sovereignty of the Lord, and glory in the free will of man, do thou answer them, He shall choose for me. It is my freest choice to let Him choose. As a free agent, I elect that He should have absolute sway.
His way is truth, His way is truth, His way is truth.
As you hear in the introduction to these broadcasts, Let the Bible Speak seeks to present Christ in all His fullness. Are you seeking to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to some loved one, some neighbor, or someone with whom you work? We're pleased to offer you a booklet by Dr. Alan Cairns that is an excellent evangelistic tool. It's entitled, The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final. In this little book, Dr. Cairns finds a balance between those who admire the message but keep it to themselves, and those who, in their haste to present the gospel, do not take time to examine its true content, and therefore never really present it in its beauty and fullness. Dr. Cairns understands the gospel, as it is presented by Christ, to be the fullness of God, and he presents it freely to all who will believe. Furthermore, he explains that the salvation declared in the gospel, once received and experienced, is final. The believer is kept by the power of God, and nothing can separate him from the love of God. For a free copy of The Gospel of Salvation, just contact us. You may write Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may email your request to ltbs@freepres.org. That's ltbs@freepres.org. Ask for The Gospel of Salvation, Full, Free, and Final by Alan Cairns.
You know, you're seeing straight when you see your brethren the way the Lord sees them. And when the Lord sees them clothed in His righteousness, you're playing the fool when you divide yourself from them because you refuse to see them clothed in the same garments. Take these truths and apply them to the case of morals. Christ is both our righteousness and our sanctification. That would be a more literal rendering of the original in verse 30. He is both righteousness and sanctification. But yet these people were living in fornication. But Christ is their righteousness, their justification, and their sanctification. How does Paul answer that? He says, if you're saved, you're complete in Christ, let that dictate how you live. Chapter 6 is very like Romans 6, actually. Chapter 6, verse 2, 3, 9, 15, 16, 19, six times. He says, know ye not? Do you not know what it is to be complete in Christ? Do you not know what it is that He is your righteousness and He is your sanctification? In other words, see what you are in Christ, and when you see what you are in Christ, live in the light of it. How can anybody have his mind fixed on what he is in Christ? How can he be thinking the cross? How can he be thinking the completeness of Christ and the completeness of salvation in Christ? How can he be exercising his mind in those things and go and sleep with a prostitute? He can't do it, and that's what they were doing. In other words, the answer to these moral things starts in how a Christian thinks, not in some positive thinking way, but thinking the gospel, thinking Christ. And when he thinks that, he live right, whether in the church, the home, in his marriage, or in the world. And then apply it to their meetings. They had some real trouble in their meetings. I've showed you that the idea of equality made some women feminist. Social position made other people factional. Again, what's the answer? See your calling, brethren. You're complete in Christ. And if you're all complete in Christ, and if you're all in Christ, then you can't be separated one from another. The hand can't say to the foot, I'm better than you, get rid of you. I mean, I could have the most skillful pair of hands in the world. I have to be honest and say I don't. But I perhaps could have the most skillful pair of hands in the world. If I'd no eyes to see and no ears to hear and no nose to smell, the hands wouldn't be a terrible lot of good to me, would they? This church is a reflection, it's an expression of the body of Christ. And what Paul is hammering home to these people, in your meetings, remember that. You're one in Christ. You cannot do without each other. Then apply it to the ministry. There were false claims of spiritual gifts, and these false claims were full of self-promotion and self-gratification. What's the first answer to a false charismatic movement? It's a gospel theology. You must lay low pride at the cross and teach men to glory in salvation and not in showmanship. I haven't time to expound this morning, but the ministry of the Spirit is to exalt the Lord. Six times in the opening verses of this first chapter, you've got the term the Lord Jesus Christ. It appears four more times in this book. About 47 times you have another emphasis on Christ as the Lord. That makes over 50 times in 16 chapters. The Lordship of Christ is being emphasized. That's what motivates and governs a Christian. That's the touchstone indeed of the reality of your profession. If any man love not our Lord Jesus Christ, let him be anathema. Let him go to hell. Doesn't matter what gifts he professes, if he doesn't love our Lord Jesus Christ, he's damned. That's what Paul teaches. The ministration of the Spirit's to exalt the Lord. It's to expound the gospel. It's to edify the saints and it's to evangelize the sinners. And there are the principles, the great doctrinal truths by which we're to deal with the problems, the sins, and the questions. Quickly. That's the principle. But now we must have it applied. And the Spirit of Christ gives us the power. You see, all these things are only words, they're only theories, until they're applied by the Holy Spirit. Christian living is not a mechanical observing of so many do's and don'ts of precepts and principles. The way you hear some people preaching, they make Christian living like an algebraic equation. You do this and this and this and you get this on the other side of the equation. It doesn't work that way. That's not how it works. There's the ministry of the Spirit to apply the gospel to our hearts. And let me give you the key verse, not only to 1 Corinthians, but to the whole Christian life. 1 Corinthians 2, verse 12. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. That's the key verse. Let me sum it up for you, and I'm not going to preach this. The Holy Spirit is therefore the Spirit of light. As verse 10 says, God hath revealed them unto us by His Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the Spirit of light. He enlightens the mind that Christians may know their completeness in Christ. He applies. You see, it's one thing to say, I believe in justification by faith. It's another thing to have the Holy Spirit apply it so that you can live in the light of it. He's the Spirit of light. He's the Spirit of life. As we read in chapter 2, verse 4, there's the demonstration of the Spirit and of power. He's the Spirit of life. And that's why in chapter 3, verse 16, we read that we are the temple of God and the Spirit of God dwells in us. He lives in us. I wish I had time to show you what the Spirit of life does for the people of God. Then he's the Spirit of liberty. But he's the opponent of license and lust. The Spirit brings us into the liberty of the gospel, but it's not a liberty to live in lust. It's not a liberty for Christians to leave their spouses who are willing to live with them in the bonds of marriage. It's not a liberty to run amok in the church and cast off authority. He's the Spirit of light. He's the Spirit of life. He's the Spirit of liberty. And he's the Spirit of love. Chapter 13 is what Paul calls his way of excellence. I show you a more excellent way. You know, when Christians live in the lusts of the flesh, what are they saying? They don't love the Lord as they ought to and as they once did. You see, if you really were in love with the Lord today, you couldn't live in immorality. You couldn't live in a wicked worldliness. I'm going to make a sweeping statement. If you really love the Lord, you couldn't park yourself in front of a television 5 or 6 or 7 nights a week. Couldn't do it. Worse still, as many women do. If you really love the Lord, you can't get up in the morning and as you open your eyes, flip on the TV and fill your mind with even things that are legitimate. Never mind the filth and the garbage that makes up the miscalled soaps. If you really love the Lord, you can't have a worldly lifestyle. It's because of lack of love that you do these things. So the more excellent way is love. You couldn't fight and get on and divide the church and cast off Christians and just throw them out of your little party if you really had the love of Christ for them. You couldn't fight with your wife like cats and dogs if you really had the love of Christ for him and for her. It's impossible. This is what Paul's saying. This is the more excellent way. Now he says, listen, you may talk a good religion, but though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, and have not this love, this more excellent way, I'm just a sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. You may be very zealous. You may be filled with what you think are spiritual gifts and talents. You may even give great amounts of money to the church. You may be so zealous that you're willing to die for the gospel. But if you don't have this more excellent way, he says, it is absolutely nothing. Makes no impression on God. How do you get the love of Christ? How do you get to love the Lord? How do you get to love people? My friend, you get it at the cross. When the Holy Spirit applies to your heart the wonder of the love of Christ for you, it will beget a love for Christ in you and a love from Christ through you. He's the Spirit of love. He must apply the principles of the gospel. Thank God we can finish as Paul finished. The second coming gives us the prospect of the final deliverance. Chapter 15, verse 23, Christ is coming. 49 to 58 tells us what's going to happen when he comes. We're going to be like him. What a day that's going to be when this mortal puts on immortality, when this corruptible puts on incorruption, when this sin is totally eradicated from this body. What a day, what a glorious day that will be. That's the prospect of full and final deliverance. Now then, Paul says, I have told you to live looking back to what Christ did for you. Now I'm telling you to live also looking forward to what he's going to do as he brings it all to a great consummation. And when you do that, then will you be able to obey the injunction. At the end of chapter 15, verse 57 and verse 58, with this we close this morning. May God indeed make it our experience. Thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. It's the kind of Christians we need in this church. It's the kind of church we need to be. We don't need particularly learned, brilliant people. If you're learned and brilliant, we need you, but not because of that. We need people who are abounding in the work of the Lord because they're steadfast, they're unmovable, they're living in the light of the cross.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of the Lord, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel, a booklet that sets forth the beliefs and standards of the Free Presbyterian Church, you may have a copy free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Our email address is info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. If you would like to learn more about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, or if you'd like to see if there is a free church in your area, we invite you to visit our website, www.fpcna.org. That's www.fpcna.org. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us again as we let the Bible speak.